The Holy Gospel for today, the 16th Sunday after Pentecost, is from the Gospel according to St. Matthew, the 20th chapter. Glory to you, O Lord. Jesus speaks to his disciples and followers, saying these words. For the kingdom of heaven is like a landowner who went out early in the morning to hire laborers for his vineyard. After agreeing with the laborers for the usual daily wage, he sent them into his vineyard. When he went out about 9 o'clock, he saw others standing idle in the marketplace, and he said to them, "You also go into the vineyard, and I will pay you whatever is right." So they went. When he went out again about noon and about 3 o'clock, he did the same. And about 5 o'clock, he went out and found others standing around, and he said to them, "Why are you standing here idle all day?" They said to him, "Because no one has hired us." He said to them, "You also go into the vineyard." When evening came, the owner of the vineyard said to his manager, "Call the laborers and give them their pay, beginning with the last and then going to the first." When those hired about 5 o'clock came, each of them received the usual daily wage. Now when the first came, they thought they would receive more, but each of them also received the usual daily wage. And when they received it, they grumbled against the landowner, saying, "These last worked only 1 hour, and you have made them equal to us who have borne the burden of the day and the scorching heat?" But he replied to one of them, "Friend, I am doing you no wrong. Did you not agree with me for the usual daily wage? Take what belongs to you and go. I choose to give to the last the same as I give to you. Am I not allowed to do what I choose with what belongs to me? Or are you envious because I'm generous? So the last will be first, and the first will be last." The Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. Grace and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus, who is the Christ. The text for today's sermon is from the book of Jonah, the 3rd and 4th chapters. Let us pray in preparation for the sermon. Lord, now let the meditation of each heart and the words I'm about to speak be acceptable in your sight, you who are our strength, our sustainer, and our redeemer. Amen. Once again this week, the sermon is simple. The whole sermon, in a sentence, is this: God is generous and gracious. God is ultimately gracious, or grace-filled, for all my confirmation students. And in Scripture, the mantra is, God is gracious and merciful, slow to anger, abounding in steadfast love, and ready to relent from punishing. That's it. That's all. You can fast forward the CD or the internet broadcast if you wish. The sermon is simple. God is generous and gracious. Or you can dig out your Bibles and read the book of Jonah. It's only 4 chapters long. The first 2 chapters deal with Jonah fleeing on the sea from God and God's mission, and Jonah being thrown overboard by the crew of the ship, and Jonah being swallowed by a great fish. The joke among pastors and theologians is it was not a whale. It says nothing about whales. It was a wide-mouthed bass. The last 2 chapters, which we're going to look at, deal with Jonah's mission by God to Nineveh, and Nineveh's response to God, and has to do with a worm, not a whale, and a bush. The first 2 chapters have got a great fish. The last 2 chapters have got a worm. And the worm always gets forgotten in the story. Always. But that's what we're going to look at today. The Old Testament reading for today begins in chapter 3 at verse 10, sort of in the middle of the chapter. And it says this: "When God saw what they did, how they turned from their evil ways, God changed God's mind about the calamity that God had said God would bring upon them. And God did not do it." Jonah chapter 3, verse 10 is one of the most important verses in the Bible, right up there with John 3:16 and all the rest, Psalm 23 and the like. But the reading that we have for today misses the whole beginning of the story. Who are the they and what did they do? So I'm going to share that part of the story with you now as kind of background to where we're going in the book of Jonah. The last half of the book of Jonah, it's only four chapters long, chapters 3 and 4. Chapter 3 begins with these words. The word of the Lord came to Jonah a second time. Okay, now that's important because the first time the word of the Lord came to Jonah, Jonah did not listen to the Lord and he fled from God and God's mission and was thrown overboard from the ship by the sailors and swallowed up, saved actually, by a great fish. That's all chapters 1 and 2. Chapter 1, basically. Chapter 2 is a poem that Jonah recites from the belly of the fish, white-mouth bass or whale. Chapter 3 begins, the word of the Lord came to Jonah a second time, saying, get up and go to Nineveh, the great city, and proclaim to it the message that I tell you. Now, you need to realize also about Nineveh. We don't often talk about that city. It's just a city that's sinful and big. But Nineveh was the capital of the Neo-Assyrian Empire, or the Persian Empire, whose brutality was renowned and known around the world and was responsible for the annihilation of the northern kingdom of Israel in 722 BCE. During this Persian Empire period, there is no independent Jewish state in existence, and many Jewish people remain scattered among the nations. Jonah presumably wants this evil place punished. And as an Israelite whose country is so often called out for failing to repent or turn, an important word we'll look at soon, Jonah resents Nineveh and resents that Nineveh, of all places, repents and turns. So then, chapter 3, verse 3. So Jonah set out and went to Nineveh according to the word of the Lord the second time. Now Nineveh was an exceedingly great city, a 3 days walk across. Jonah began to go into the city, going about a day's walk, and he cried out, 40 days more and Nineveh shall be overthrown. And the people of Nineveh believed God. They proclaimed a fast, and everyone great and small put on sackcloth. Now, your ears should prick up from Ash Wednesday and from Lenten services you've gone to. They repented. They turned from their evil ways. And one way that the people of God shows their repentance, their sorrow, is to put on sackcloth and sit among ashes. Everyone, great and small, put on sackcloth. They turned from their evil ways and repented. It goes on, verse 6. When the news reached the king of Nineveh, he rose from his throne. This is the king. Removed his robe, covered himself with sackcloth, and sat in ashes. The king repented, and he turned from his evil ways. Verse 7. Then he had a proclamation made in Nineveh. By the decree of the king and his nobles, no human being or animal, no herd or flock shall taste anything. They shall not feed, nor shall they drink water. And so they're fasting, right? That's a part of repentance, fasting, the Lenten discipline. No meat on Friday. Verse 8, human beings and animals shall be covered with sackcloth, and they shall cry mightily to God. All shall turn from their evil ways and from violence that is in their hands. Who knows, says the king. God may relent and change God's mind. God may turn from God's fierce anger so that we do not perish. So that's all the backstory. And then this is where our Old Testament reading begins for today. And it's the most important verse in all of the book of Jonah, I think. Some people would say, actually, that verse 2 of chapter 4 is the most important one. I say verse 10 of chapter 3 is the most important. This is where it begins. When God saw what they, Nineveh, and the king did, and all the animals in the city, how they turned from their evil ways, God changed God's mind about the calamity that God had said God would bring upon them. And God did not do it. One of the most important verses of the Bible, chapter 3, verse 10, the last verse of the chapter. Then chapter 4 goes on. But this was very displeasing to Jonah, the prophet, and he became angry. He prayed to the Lord and said, "O Lord, is this not what I said while I was still in my own country? That is why I fled to Tarshish at the beginning, for I knew that you are a gracious God and merciful, slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love, and ready to relent from punishing. And now, O Lord, please take my life from me, for it is better for me to die than to live." Talk about a temper tantrum. I think that Jonah here not only knew that God was generous and gracious, the whole of the sermon for today, in just a couple words, but this made Jonah into a liar. His prophecy did not come true that they would be annihilated and overcome. Because the people changed their mind and God changed God's mind with them, they both turned from the evil they were going to do. So Jonah looks like a false prophet in public, and Jonah's enemies are forgiven and saved from destruction. It goes on, chapter 4, verse 4. And the Lord said, "Is it right for you to be angry?" Then Jonah went out from the city and pouted and sat down east of the city and made a booth for himself there. He sat under the shade waiting to see what would become of the city. Now this is important, and a lot of theologians and pastors forget this part of the story. Jonah went out of the city to pout and to be angry, to want to die, and sat down east of the city and made a booth for himself there, a tent, a dwelling, and he sat under it in the shade waiting to see what would become of the city. Jonah should be rejoicing with the people of Nineveh in their belief in God's word. God spoke a word to the people listened, they changed their hearts and their minds, they repented, they turned from their evil, and they understood God's generous graciousness towards them. Jonah, as a man of God, as a person of God, as a prophet of God, should be rejoicing with them. But instead, Jonah goes outside the city. He goes outside of relationship with the people, outside of relationship with God, who I think is rejoicing with the king and all the people of Nineveh, and waits to see what will happen. Not only does he run away from God the first time and goes to Tarshish on a ship, ending up in the belly of a great fish, but he runs away from the people of God now, these people in Nineveh, his enemies, and he runs again away from God. Verse 6 of chapter 4, we're getting to the end. Then the Lord God appointed a bush and made it come up over Jonah, a gift to shade over his head and to save him from his discomfort. So Jonah was very happy about the bush. He sounds like a 2-year-old to me. But when dawn came the next day, God appointed a worm. Here we go, the whale and the worm. God appointed a worm that attacked the bush so that it withered. When the sun rose, God prepared a sultry east wind, and the sun beat down on the head of Jonah so that he was faint and asked that he might die. He said, "It is better for me to die than to live." Throwing a tantrum like a 2-year-old. Verse 9. But God said to Jonah, "Is it right for you to be angry about the bush?" And Jonah said, "Yes, angry enough to die." He's uncomfortable. I don't want to wear a mask in public. I don't want to be uncomfortable. I want comfort. And I want to be the way I want to be. Verse 10, then the Lord said, "You were concerned about the bush, for which you did not labor and which you did not grow, and it came into being in a night and it perished in a night? And should I not be concerned about Nineveh, that great city, in which there are more than 120,000 people who do not know their right hand from their left, and also many animals?" And that is how the book of Jonah ends, with that verse 11, that question. With a question from God to a prophet of God. We do not know how Jonah answered the question. I could guess from the previous verses and how he wanted to die and how he pouted and was angry. But I think that's not the point of the story. I think that's not the point of the question at the end that's unanswered. You and I are to think about the answer we would give to that same question. The whole story leads up to verse 11, the last verse of the last chapter, chapter 4 only, of Jonah. Listen again and see how you would answer it. God asks the question of you. And should I, God, not be concerned about Nineveh, that great city in which there are more than 120,000 people who do not know their right hand from their left? And also many animals? Nineveh was twice the size of Pocatello and Chubbuck. And they had many more animals than the people in Pocatello and Chubbuck have. But population-wise, it's about twice the size of Pocatello and Chubbuck, or twice the size of Idaho Falls. I could hear Jonah saying, but there are enemies. They are our enemies. They are evil people. They should be destroyed. But if you read the whole chapters, read the whole book again, the only people that listen to God in the book of Jonah are the people of Nineveh. The man of God, the prophet of God, doesn't listen to God. He disobeys God and flees. He reluctantly says God's word, but he does not rejoice when the people change their mind and their hearts. He does not rejoice with them and stay in the city and celebrate that they believe in Yahweh, God. The people of Nineveh, they're the only ones who listen, believe, and trust in God as God speaks to them. Jonah did not listen to God. And so I think the open-ended question at the end of the story of Jonah that God asks of the prophet Jonah and asks of you and me is, what is the relationship that you have with God? Can God's mind change about how God is going to deal with you? God is ready to relent from punishment. He is generous and gracious, grace-filled. And even better yet, can you change your mind about how God is in your life and the life of others, even your enemies? These people were evil people in the Persian Empire. It was an evil city. They were known for their evilness and for their destruction. The Hebrew, the Jewish people, did not like them. And vice versa. But the only people in the book of Jonah that listen to God are the people who are evil, who believe in what God says, and then they turn from their evil ways, and they trust that God will forgive them and be generous to them and be gracious to them. What is the relationship that you have with God? Is it like Jonah, who knows that he's right no matter what? I'd be better off dead than alive right now. Is it like the people of Nineveh, who can change their hearts and their minds around and show repentance from the greatest to the least of them and even all the animals? Can you change your mind about how God is in your life? Or even better yet, is a simple question. Do you listen to God? That's really the question for today. Do you listen to God and what God says? Once again this week, the sermon is simple. God is generous and gracious. God is ultimately gracious and grace-filled. And Scripture over and over again, and even in the story of Jonah, it says, God is gracious and merciful, slow to anger, and abounding in steadfast love, and ready to relent from punishing. That is it. That is all. But do you listen to God as Jonah did, or as the animals and the people from the greatest to the least did in Nineveh? Amen.